I can open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking particularly at verses 23 and 24.
In a message that I thought about calling In God We Trust, I thought that would be fitting as well, but I'm going to settle on Trust Me, not me, Trust Him. It deals with something that we touched on a few weeks ago, the idolatry of secular humanism, which in essence is just the temptation to trust self. Anybody ever struggle with that? Just the temptation to trust self, to have confidence in self, to rely on self. I memorized these verses over 20 years ago, but I'm still trying to learn how to live them. Okay? It's one thing, you know, to get it in your head. It's nothing to get it in your heart. It's nothing to get it in your life. Amen? You know, to actually be able to live what we know. It starts like this. Says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of the wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he knows me and understands me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness upon the earth. For in these I delight. Just a couple of verses. Yeah, just a couple of verses, but so much meaning. I don't know about you, but I was taught very early in life that it's wrong to brag. Anybody ever been told you're not supposed to brag? You shouldn't boast about anything, no matter what it is. It was prideful, arrogant, sinful to brag, to boast. Having said that, it didn't stop me from doing it. How about you? It seems like we have this tendency, doesn't it? In this passage, though, there's this spin, if you will, on that rule that I hadn't been taught. I really hadn't let sink in. I didn't understand. It suggests that boasting might be not only okay, but more than okay, providing it's focused correctly. Let's review for just a couple moments the specific things mentioned in the text that we're not supposed to boast about first, okay? First of all, we're not to boast in our own wisdom. You see that? Don't let the wise man boast his wisdom. Now, it's not saying there aren't wise men and women. There are. And matter of fact, it's not that wisdom is wrong, because the scripture would encourage us to seek wisdom and to pursue wisdom. Wisdom is a precious commodity. But what it's saying is don't rely on it. Don't trust it. Don't boast on your own wisdom. Do you know that there are some people who are too smart for their own good? And sometimes things happen, you know, that kind of humble them a little bit, and they realize that they're not as smart as they thought they were. Matter of fact, this past week, I finally gave in, I finally surrendered, I finally submitted, and got a smartphone. Guess what? I'm not smart enough to use it. I've been having to, you know, I'm fiddling, how's this thing work? I can't, you know, so I'm asking my kids to help me out. Not smartphones need smart people to be able to operate them, not just to develop them. But you know, great technology, but my goodness. We may not be Albert Einstein or Stephen Hawking, but we've all, at this junction of life, I think we've all read everything we could get our hands on. Maybe we've been those kind of people. And there's a lot of avenues, a lot of ways to get a hold of stuff to read these days, isn't there? It's not just a matter of the book. And here's the battle, the book, or the e-book, or the Kindle, you know, the Nook. You know, what's the best way to do that? Some people like to turn the page, and they like to highlight, and they like to underline. And, you know, maybe you can do that in a Nook. I don't know. Maybe you can't. You know, or fold over the pages or something. They like to do certain things. But there's that. But, boy, we've got all of this information, don't we? We've got all of this knowledge at our disposal, you know, for us to digest. And we studied so much, and we've read so much, and we've you know, focused in on certain subjects so much that we're convinced we're experts, at least in some area. We think we are experts. We've maybe also had some life experiences that we believe equip us you know, now to counsel others on what they ought to do, whether or not we are wise enough to do it ourselves. We think, oh, we got it. Yeah, I can tell you what you ought to do in life, what choices you ought to make. Some of us are brainiacs. Some computer nerds. Others just geniuses. Some are considered gifted and therefore exalted almost to celebrity status, right? Yet there was a very wise man named Solomon who wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, he said that he had grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who ruled over Jerusalem before. Only to discover in time that he was just chasing after the wind. He said, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. He even concluded that this treatise, the book of Ecclesiastes, with these words in chapter 12. Of making many books, there's no end. And much study wears the body. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. What's he saying? Is he saying, don't seek wisdom? No, he would tell us to. He'd say, don't rely on it. Don't think that therein lies your salvation. Don't think that therein lies your answers to life. He's saying, seek God. Seek God. Understand the giver of all wisdom, the possessor of all wisdom, is our Creator God. The Apostle Paul just said this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. He said, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That's a pretty fair lead-in into the next point, isn't it? Because again, God's foolishness, and there's nothing foolish about God. Nothing. What it's saying is that the least, smallest grain of wisdom, as we might consider it, is so much greater than anything man possesses. Anything. And it's a lead-in into this next part about strength. You see, we should not boast in our own strength. You're going to be surprised by this. In Jeremiah's time, warriors were idolized, and so were athletes. Imagine that. Things haven't changed much, have they? Not much at all. I've never been a very big guy. Matter of fact, in grade school, I was always the skinny kid with the buck teeth and the glasses. Some things changed. Not all. And you know what? I got picked on a lot and pushed around a lot, you know, but I was always determined I am not going to be bullied by people who throw their weight around. Not going to do that. And I would stand up to them and I'd fight and ask my dad to teach me how to fight and wrestle, you know, because I'm not going to be pushed around. It's not going to happen. And he taught me some stuff reluctantly. He taught me how to Levi punch instead of slap. Hey, guys, don't slap, you know. They taught me how to kind of stand my own a little bit. I was cocky. Worked out a little bit. Even took supplements to gain weight. Not doing that today. Not doing that today, no. It didn't make any difference. I just couldn't put on a pound. I couldn't. When I got to middle school, I weighed about 115 pounds soaking wet. And I was determined, you know, I was still getting pushed around, still, you know, made fun of, mocked, you know, and by my pride just wouldn't work. So I stood up to some people, whatever, but I finally thought, you know what, I'm going to join the wrestling team. Because, you know, at least then I'll be up against people my own size. My own weight, you know, and I'm going to learn how to stand my own against them and also gain some skills where, you know, I'm going to get some respect. I'm going to get that. So I joined the wrestling team, and I was doing okay with it, you know, in my weight class. But we got this new coach, Coach Cole. I was sharing this with Nina the other day. And he was rather unorthodox. We all looked up to him and thought he was a pretty cool guy. He was one young guy fresh out of college. But he was going to teach us, you know, some unorthodox things. And one of the things he decided to do in the last practices, just before the first meet, he was going to put our names in a hat and draw out names. And whoever we were matched up with, that's who we'd wrestle, regardless of size or weight. And his thought was is that, you know what, that will teach you to understand some of your own strengths and weaknesses, you know, that you know, if you're up against somebody that's stronger, they won't be so easy to get away from, you know, and also some of the bigger guys would find that the little guys were maybe a little more quick and spry and you know, maybe wiry. So that sounded like okay ideas, but I drew Tim's name. Tim was a friend, weighed about 30 pounds more than me, and first time we were matched up is I actually pinned him. Boy, I was proud. Actually, second time we were matched up, he was determined that wasn't going to happen. So I was down on the force, and what he did, as soon as he blew the whistle, is he put me in a full Nelson, which is an illegal hold. But it was kind of freestyle anyway. So no objection. He put me in a full Nelson. And what I did is I couldn't get him off of me. So I decided what I would do is I'd do what I'd done with guys my own weight. Worked pretty well. Is I tucked my head under to do like a forward roll, a somersault, to throw him off. But when I went forward, he broke back and pressed down, and I heard the crack. Not only did I hear it, evidently everybody did. And I saw a star. I don't know whether I passed out for a moment or not, but I remember when I was aware the coach and everybody were, you know, gathered around me. For the next 8 hours, I was paralyzed. Scared to death. I had my neck fracture. And the swelling around the vertebrae in the neck, it had cut off the nerve. And it was pinched. And so for 8 hours, like I said, I was paralyzed. And then eventually, feelings started coming back. Got me in a room, 18 days in traction. Flat on my back. Weights hung around my neck. Had a little periscope kind of thing to watch TV and to be able to talk to people at the foot of the bed. Had to learn how to eat and keep it down. You know, the whole time I lay there, just wanted to get Tim back. Had to wear a neck brace for 6 months. And the school would allow me to participate in contact sports for 5 years. They're afraid of a lawsuit. Because they knew. They'd come to see my mom. Evidently, you know, and try to, you know, well, Mrs. Doyle, you know. Now, mom wasn't going to sue, but they were afraid of that. Now, I still, you know, played neighborhood sports. Still, this is going to surprise you. I'm still getting into fights. Not a happy camper. Angry inside. Started determined to fight my way through life. It got me a few more black eyes and bloody noses than I care to talk about. But, you know, can any men relate to what I'm talking about here? Any men, first of all. We got to be tough, right? We got to be tough. You know, it's what men are. It's what men do. We got to be tough. We got to prove to others and to ourselves that we are tough. We stand up to bullies. And sometimes we may even become bullies in the process, trying to avoid conflict. Picking a fight, trying to avoid other fights. That doesn't make any sense, I know. But it's how we might think. We lift too much, and we do too much. We don't admit when we get tired or hurt. We don't cry. We don't go to the doctor. We don't ask for help. And if we can't hide a weakness, we make excuses for it and compensate in some other way. Any guys relate to what I'm talking about? Any men know what I'm talking about? But you know what? Boasting of one's strength is not just a male problem. Ladies? Is it? Women certainly don't like the label of the weaker sex. How many of you girls like that label? You know, maybe you even object to that. You don't know? No, I don't like that. I've known many women that I would want to arm wrestle with. I'll tell you that. I've known many women who could outwork me any day of the week. I've known women who are physically strong, but not just physically strong. We're talking about more than just that. Women sometimes boast of their strength of character, of their ability to endure things and to bear pain. How many guys have heard that before? If you had to have one baby, just one baby, you men, one baby, that'd be all there'd be. Wouldn't be. Ever hear that, guys? Yeah. Probably true, okay, but you heard it. They may boast of their superior coping skills. And you know, many women can be fierce, if I can say that right, competitors, even more so than some men. Ladies, am I coming close with any? No, shaking heads, no. I know better. If you don't believe me, did you watch the Olympics? Were there some competitive women out there? Some women, again, who were strutting their strength? Sure. In Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, we read, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. It goes on. It says, the one who does that, he'll be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He'll dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Tells me like saying, cursed is the one who puts their trust in self. But blessed is the one who trusts the Lord. Amen? There's another segue here, though. Don't trust in your own riches. Now, some of us might be thinking, like I have thought at times, well, that's not going to be a problem for me. Not going to be a problem for me. I don't have any. No problem. I don't have a pot to boil water in or a window to throw it out of. Ever heard something similar to that? Here's one my friend likes. I'm so poor, I can't even pay attention. Here's one I thought, you know, if I won that new car, I couldn't afford the gift taxes, the luxury taxes. And all of us have got a rich uncle in the poorhouse, right? The idea is we don't think we have much. We don't think we have a lot. But according to global statistics, me personally, I am far wealthier than 90% of the population of this world. And more than likely, so are you. If you're single and you net $13,000 a year, you are in the top 10% of the wealthy people in this world. A household of two only has to net $25,000 a year to maintain that status. Maybe you've seen this poster. Oh, I got something out of order. That's okay. I'll read this. This is from Deuteronomy 8. God warns his people, you may say to yourself, and he was talking about when they got into the land of prosperity, when they were blessed. He says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So boast in your wealth or boast in the one who gives it to you. That's the idea, isn't it? Matter of fact, it goes on, when he gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, you'll be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Now, that seems pretty straightforward to me. Boast in our riches instead of the God who gives them, and we'll regret it. Lean times in America today? I would say, wake up, America. And you know, that begins with us waking up. Waking up to acknowledge that whatever blessing we have, whatever riches, whatever possessions, whatever stuff, it's from him. And it belongs to him. I've had the distinct privilege before of being allowed, I just thought of this, but allowed to use someone's brand new car. If somebody say, you know what, here, just take my car, just something. And say, oh, I can't do that. You know, I can't drive your car. Oh, no, go ahead and take it. So take the car, you know, and wow, you're driving a new car? And you stop someplace and somebody says, wow, nice car. What do you say? Yeah, ain't it? Yeah, boy, yeah. Yeah, I like it, huh?
Yeah.
And what do you do? What should you do? Well, thank you. It's not my car. Someone has blessed me with it today. Now, shouldn't that be our attitude about everything that people compliment us about? Whatever it is, they say, wow, that's a nice outfit you have today. Not nice suit. Thank you. But you know what? The Lord has blessed me with it. This is his. Nice house you have here. The Lord has blessed me. Nice car. Nice whatever, right? Because the Lord has blessed me. Give the praise to the one who's given it to you to use. Because at the end of the day, it's not yours, right? It's his. Now, again, I think I've got it here. Here's that poster I was talking about, out of order. Maybe you've seen it. I won't read all of it. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. Is that hard to believe? If you have money in the bank, your wallet, and some spare change, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Wow. And then it gets to talking about some other blessings. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. Wow. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture or the horrible pangs of starvation, you are luckier than 500 million people alive and suffering. Then it says, if you can read this, you're also very blessed because there's so many who can't even read. Blessed. We are blessed people. We have so much abundance. I was sharing Wednesday afternoon, in a culture where smartphone, cable TV, and the internet access are considered the norm, if not the necessity, maybe the word for us would be spoiled rather than blessed. Are you hearing me? The website where I got the statistics about what percentage, you know, you'd be as far as wealthy people are, it was actually a Christian website, and it went on to say that, you know, if you're in that top 10% or 8% or whatever, if you tithe, you'd still be there. If you gave 10% of your income in the Lord, trusting him, you'd still be so wealthy. And he promises that too. But he not only promises that, he'll bless you with more than you need. If we would do that, if we trust him, and that's often an indication of our trust. But so few give any credit or honor to the God of their prosperity. And I believe that our nation has failed to do that. I believe that so many families have failed to do that. And I confess before God, I have failed to do that as I should. We need to do that. Boast in the Lord. Give Him credit. That's the idea. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. More specifically, Jeremiah says, boast in the fact that you know and understand Him. See, if you're going to brag, boast about this, that you know and understand the Lord. That's heavy. We're going to come back to that in a minute. That you know and understand Him, the Lord who exercises kindness. How many of you are pleased today that we know a Lord who exercises kindness, who is gracious, who is merciful, who is loving, who gives so much to us? How many of you can acknowledge that today? That I know that God. I know that. I know Him. That He exercises kindness. I've experienced that in my life. I want to tell you about the kindness, about the blessings that I'm receiving from the hand of the Lord every day. I want to tell that to my neighbor, to my friends. I want them to know. I know Him. I know Him. But He also says He exercises justice. Now we want that too, Levi. We want that too, okay? We want that too when we've been wronged, right? We want justice when we've been wrong. We want God to be fair, right? We want that. We want to get our just desserts when the just desserts are good desserts, right? We want that. We want God to be fair with us, just with us. We want to be rewarded for the good we do. We want to receive blessings when we have invested, right? We want that. God is good about that, amen? God is good about that. Praise God that He's just about that. But that other side of that is that, you know what, He also punishes the wicked. And He withholds blessings from those who withhold praise from Him. He's just. He's just. And He also exercises righteousness upon the earth. God always does the right thing even when we can't see it. Even when it might not seem like it. Even when again, we might not be feeling it. You can know what God is doing is the right thing all the time. That's what righteousness is, doing the right thing all the time. You can respond to this. You've heard this. I don't know who began it, but God is good. Okay? God is righteous all the time. He really is, all the time. Even again, when we can't sense it or feel it, He is. He exercises kindness and justice and righteousness upon the earth. And it's interesting, He says, for in these I delight. He delights in that. It gives Him pleasure. It gives Him joy to be kind to you. It gives Him pleasure to reward you. It gives Him pleasure, again, to do right by you. Praise God. Praise God for that. But it's interesting, He says, if you're going to boast, boast in the fact that you know Him and understand how He does these things, and understand that He does do these things. Think about that a minute. Who dare say that even? That I know the Lord and I understand Him. Think about that a minute. Especially when David said in Psalm 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for Him, too lofty for Him to obtain. In Isaiah 55, 9, God said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What's He saying? Again, figure it out. Try to figure it out. But don't be surprised if you can't figure it out. Don't be surprised if you can't always understand what I'm doing when I'm doing it. But what's the issue? But trust me. Trust me that I am exercising kindness and justice and righteousness upon the earth. Trust me that that's my motivation. That's who I am. That's what I'm doing. What are you going through? What are you dealing with right now? What is crippling you right now? Are you finding that your wisdom, you understand, I don't know what's going on. I don't get it. Are you struggling with that? Are you struggling with losing your strength, your health, your physical ability, whether from age or How many of you recognize you can't do what you once did with quite the energy you once did it? You don't have to be my age to recognize that. You know, but losing our strength, and you struggle with that maybe. And the wealth, the riches, you know, just what's going on? Where's my security? What's going on? But I know this. Even if I don't have all the answers, though, I know this. What? I know the Lord. He exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. I know that. I'll boast in that. Because I'm boasting in Him. Boasting in Him. You know, trying to understand again all the intricacies of God and what He's doing and how He's doing it, I think a child, a small child, has about as much possibility of knowing and understanding everything about the Lord as either of us do. But I don't want you to be discouraged by that. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be comforted today, because Jesus said when we become like a little child, it's then that we can truly see God. It's then that we can see God and trust God in those things that we don't understand, that we can't work out, that we just... And I believe one of the reasons for that is, think about it. A child's not usually going around bragging about what they know. What they can do. Or what they have. No, we adults, we do that. We do that. What's a child does? Trust. Yes, trust. Sooner or later, we all need to learn, as the Apostle Paul did. In Galatians 6:14, he wrote, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Think on that a minute. Boasting in the cross? Yes. For it's when we begin to grasp the significance of the cross, of what took place there, of Jesus' sacrifice, it's then, I believe, when we begin to get a grip on understanding the Lord. Because listen to me, His kindness to us was expressed on the cross of Calvary. Amen? You talk about a clear expression of kindness to us in His mercy and His gift of grace on the cross of Calvary. Does He exercise kindness? Look to the cross. And you won't think it, you won't wonder about it, you'll know. You'll know it. And guess what? His justice was satisfied the cross. Somebody had to pay for the sins of the world. Someone had to pay. That is just. Guess who paid the price? He did. His Son. And there are those who say that's not fair. It's just. Look to the cross. You wonder if God is just. You know that He is. And His righteousness, doing the right thing at just the right time and just the right way, when the world would say this makes no sense, His righteousness was exemplified, man, in the cross. Everything in us was made right at the cross. We'll accept that. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ. He has paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His room? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Father God, thank you. Thank you for reminding us today that our confidence, our trust cannot be in the things of this world. That our confidence, our trust must be fully placed in you, who gives us the things that we need in this world. Thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for so clearly demonstrating to us your kindness, justice, and righteousness upon the earth. And thank you, God, for the assurance we have today that because of what you did then and the power that you poured out then, we know you. And we have life with you eternally. Thank you, God. May we praise you and boast in you this week. Not be ashamed or shy about it. In Jesus' name.